Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Our travel adventure today is in Hualien about the Balloon Festival, so stay tuned. We're glad you joined us today in our advanced class. This is Doris Broom, and I love Hualien. If you don't know where it is, you better Google it and find out. But it's on the east coast of Taiwan, and that's where I spent some very nice years over there. So I'm glad to talk about Hualien today. Yay, Hualien. Okay, but let's have all the teachers that have been to Hualien say, yay, Hualien.
Yay, Hualien.
And we're glad that we can have the one who wrote the article, Catherine, with us. How are you today, Catherine?
I'm doing great, Doris. I'm very happy to be here and excited to talk about this amazing trip I took.
Well, and Steve was down there in Hualien the first time you went down there with a trip, wasn't he?
That's right.
So, Steve, what about it?
Hi, everybody. I had a great time in Hualien. I love going there. I was there a few times this year. Once for the Balloon Festival, and another time I was biking through Hualien, and it's just beautiful down there.
It is beautiful.
I love Hualien.
They didn't have all those festivals and things when I lived there many years ago, but it's still a beautiful place. And we have Pam with us, Pam, who does a lot of our things on the web and answers your letters, and she lives in the United States, but she's here with us right now. Welcome, Pam.
Yeah. Thanks, Doris. Hi, everybody. It's great to be back. I always look forward to getting back in Advanced Studio.
Well, Pam, don't you wish you could have been down there for that balloon festival?
I really do, Doris. When you told me about the trip and then I read Katie's article, I said, boy, am I jealous. I would love to do that.
So we're going to talk about it today, aren't we? And where are we going to start today, Steve?
Let's start on page 16 at the top.
Okay.
On line 1.
This is above from Hualien. The Hualien Balloon Festival offers different perspective for tourists. That's what we're going to talk about today. So let's read the first section through line 14.
Hualien from above. Hot Air Balloon Festival offers a different perspective for tourists. Catherine, it's your turn. Get in, the pilot shouted. I gulped in apprehension, gripped the metal bar above my head, and clambered into the basket. The other passengers followed, climbing in slowly to maintain the balloon's balance. The pilot pushed a lever on the burner, and I recoiled from the sweltering wave of heat that hit my face when the orange flame burst forth. Then the balloon swiftly lifted from the ground, quite possibly leaving my stomach behind. I leaned over the edge, as far as was safely possible, and watched the land zoom away. Finally, after a wake-up call at 3:55 a.m. and an hour-long drive deep into Hualien County, we were airborne.
Well, the title here is talking about this balloon festival, and any kind of a festival is interesting. It's fun. But this one says it offers a different perspective for tourists going to Hualien. Perspective is a pretty interesting word.
It is. It's from perspective. It's what you see from a different angle. And so the tourists that go to Hualien, they're getting a different adventure in Hualien. I think most people that go to Hualien, they're looking for some kind of adventure with the Aboriginal culture, or they'll go to Taroko Gorge. But this is a different thing, a different experience for them.
And perspective can also mean you can see a wide area. I could say I'm going to go up on the mountain and I'll have a wide perspective. I can see a wide area.
You often wonder, you know, like those birds, like the eagles, them flying, they look down and they have a different perspective on the world than we do when we're walking on the ground, don't we?
That's right. I always wanted to be able to fly because I love getting that bird's eye view of things and being able to see everything from the air.
Were you excited when you had this chance to go there, Catherine?
Yes, I was so excited because riding in a hot air balloon was something I've wanted to do since I was a little girl. So,
well, I think Pam wants to do it too, don't you, Pam?
I would love to.
Right.
Well, sign me up.
Well, did you get to ride on one when you were there too?
I did. It was a lot of fun. I had the privilege of going with Catherine, and she she had a lot of fun. I remember the first time she took off. It was kind of funny.
Well,
how excited she got.
Well, so, it says so right here. Yeah. She wrote this article, "Catherine, it's your turn. Get in." And the pilot shouted, "Oh, that was pretty exciting."
That's right. I was a little bit nervous, but as I wrote here, I say I gulped in apprehension. So I took a deep breath and swallowed, and then in apprehension, meaning that I was a little bit scared of what may or may not happen on this ride.
Sometimes we are apprehensive about things. We're a little afraid of them, but we still do them. It's a little bit fearful, isn't it?
Right.
Would you be fearful if you did that, Pam, or not? I don't think you would.
I don't think so. You know, you never know when you try something for the first time, but I don't think I would be afraid of getting in a hot air balloon.
I think I often hear this word when people are trying new food that they're not familiar with. They're apprehensive about trying something new. They're a little uncertain, a little afraid.
Well, I think they're a little bit apprehensive before a test. They might not get a good grade, and they might not pass. And when you're just a little bit afraid of something, you can say you are apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually was a little bit afraid, but then she was bravely grabbed onto this little metal bar you have to climb on. And tell us what it was like as you clambered into the basket.
Well, it was kind of difficult because you have to reach above your head and hold onto a bar, and then use your feet to actually step way up into the basket.
Mm.
And the whole time it's a little bit shaky because, like I said, you have to get in there slowly so that the basket doesn't actually tip over.
Well, getting in a basket sounds kind of strange to me. I mean, I think of a basket when you go to market, you take a little basket. This was kind of bigger than a regular basket. But what kind of a basket is that, Steve?
It's a big basket made of wicker. And they use wicker because it's a light material and it's strong. And so you can fit a lot of people in this. But again, there is no door on this basket. So you have to climb over it, and it is kind of awkward. You have to climb up and grab the bars, as Catherine said. It's a little awkward.
Well, it seems to me if I were going to go up in the air, I'd rather be in a piece of metal or something more solid. I mean, a basket going up in the air in a basket, maybe it's not strong enough. Didn't you worry about that?
Not really. It was pretty tough, and there was a lot of people in the basket. I don't know, maybe four or five people.
Yeah.
And a propane tank, which is quite heavy. So they are pretty strong.
Well, I don't know. That basket part's kind of strange. But they got in there and you went up. And then you have to climb in to get the balance because if everybody's on one side, it would tip a little bit, right?
Yeah. Actually, the first time that I went, it did tip over a little bit. And we all had to grab onto the sides because we were falling backwards. But the pilot did get it back up and going quickly.
Usually there's assistance, too, on the ground that helps stabilize the basket. And without them, it would be pretty tricky.
Okay. Well, then the pilot, and they call him a pilot, like a person that is going to put you up in the air in this balloon, they call him a pilot. Is that like an airplane pilot? What does a pilot do?
He just controls the balloon. He's the one who pushes the lever on the burner so that the flames go into the balloon.
Steers it and everything like that.
Well,
so boats have pilots, planes have pilots, and air balloons have pilots.
And by the way, pilots for hot air balloons, they do need training. They do need a license, and so the pilots here in this particular festival had licenses. I talked to them, and they went through schooling for this.
Well, that's good. So you didn't feel too much afraid there.
They had a good experience, good education, yeah.
So he pushes this little lever, and he pushes this little, this little thing you might say, let's go up in there, and you push it like your car, you shift the gears or something, right? And then what happened?
Well, Catherine said that she quickly recoiled from the sweltering wave of heat. To recoil just means to move quickly. And you can move back quickly because you're fearful of something or because maybe something disgusts you or offends you.
Okay. You pull back from something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm quite tall. Those of you who don't know me, I'm pretty tall. And I was in that basket. And so my head's a little closer to that flame than it is with shorter people. And I really felt that thing. When he turned that flame on, it
was hot. You
don't
worry about losing your hair.
It was pretty hot. I was worried.
Yeah.
I was worried about burning my head.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably hot, and it's just, it's roaring, and your face just gets so warm whenever you're standing
there. Why do you want to do that when it's so scary? Yeah. Well.
Some people like danger, Doris.
Danger, okay.
We like to live on the edge.
Okay. But, you know, you can go up in a helicopter or an airplane, but it's not the same. It's being in a balloon, I guess.
It's very different, yeah, very different.
Okay, we're going to find out more about that. And then the balloon swiftly lifted from the ground, and sometimes when you do something quickly, you feel like, uh-oh, I'm not quite with you. And then you sometimes say something like she said here, and possibly leaving my stomach behind. You don't leave it behind, but you feel like it, right?
Yeah, that's right. I know whenever I go in an elevator in a really tall building, it kind of feels like my stomach just feels funny because we go up so quickly.
Yeah, your stomach doesn't quite get along with you.
Yeah, it's an awkward feeling.
It's an expression we use sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Okay, well, you had to get up early in the morning, didn't you?
Yes. That morning, I woke up at 3:55, and we had to be on the bus at 5 a.m. It was on a Saturday morning, and I just remember thinking, I can't believe this is my weekend, but...
3:55, right.
Yeah. And then we drove for an hour way, way, way into Hualien County.
So, okay. So it says you were airborne.
Airborne, being aloft in the air. And to go back quickly, why did Catherine have to get up that early? We find out the reason in the sidebar on the left side.
Okay.
Usually the rides are from 6 to 8 a.m. or 4 to 6 p.m., and that's because those two times are when it's the calmest, when the weather is the best, so the balloon ride is the smoothest, right?
Yeah, that's right. The balloons really depend on the weather. If anything is, if it's too hot or if it's too windy, you can't go up in a balloon. So
I thought maybe you had to do it so you wouldn't hit the airplanes coming at the Hualien Airport.
No.
That didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
So it has to do with the weather then.
Mm-hmm. They're very serious about the weather conditions.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Well, the Hualien International Balloon Festival is something quite new, isn't it?
It is. In fact, this is the first year, mm-hmm. right, Catherine?
That's right.
I think they're taking the lead from other places around Taiwan. They want to attract more tourists, and this is one way they're doing that.
Well, you know, when I lived in Hualien many years ago, they didn't have all of the things they have now. They have places where you can see the ocean area and you can see fish. They have farms where you can see animals. They have things like this. Before, we just didn't have anything. We did have buffaloes going down the street, though, when I lived there.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, and they did cut the logs, and I could ride on the logs from the hill down on a cable car. That was kind of fun.
Wow.
But, you know, it wasn't really like this. Probably wasn't that safe either. But it was fun.
That sounds more dangerous than a hot air
balloon. I know.
Right?
Sounds really exciting.
Sounds fun, though.
Well, yeah, you know, when they cut the logs and they had to get them down to go into the buffalo carts to go to the mill, and so they had to have big cables, and some of us thought it was kind of fun to ride on those logs as they came down from the hill.
So see, Doris, I don't think people know how wild you really are.
Well, you know, I was younger then in those days, yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
It was fun, yeah. But the International Balloon Festival is something new, and they want everybody to know it. Tourists from all over the world now come to Taiwan, and they go to Hualien to see Taroka Gorge and the tribes people. But they have other things like this to encourage people to go there, don't they?
They do. And particularly, it's in a different part of the county than what people would normally go to. So they want to draw people further south to this area mm-hmm. and kind of spread out the tourists.
That's good. Well, let's read more about it as we finish this on page 16.
Hualien International Balloon Festival. Balloon festivals are commonplace around the world, but in Taiwan, they're still a new undertaking. Taidong hosted the first festival in 2011, but this is the first year an event has been in Hualien. Su Yi Shun, Director of Tourism and Public Affairs Department for Hualien County Government, says this kind of activity will provide a significant boost in tourism for the county. It gives visitors a new alternative when they visit Hualien.
Have you read much about festivals like this being held in other places? It says they are very commonplace now around the world, Pam.
That's right, Doris. I think New Mexico is a famous place mm-hmm. for hot air balloon festivals and, as you said, other places internationally. But it's not so commonplace or it's not such an everyday occurrence in Hualien. It's brand new.
Well, they do have them around the world. I know now they have them in Seattle and a lot of places. They didn't have them before when I was younger growing up. But a lot of places have them. Have you heard of them in other places?
Yeah, the biggest one, like Pam said, is in New Mexico. And I think that's the biggest in the world. As far as I know, there are hundreds of balloons that go there every year in New Mexico. And they're big balloons, okay? There are different sizes of balloons. And I believe the balloons in Hualien, at now at least, are kind of smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, there are balloons that are maybe double or three, four times the size of these, right?
That's right. There was a balloon festival in Colorado in the United States that I used to go to sometimes.
Really?
And they would have balloons that are in different shapes.
Did you ever ride on one then?
No, I never got to. My parents wouldn't let me.
Okay, but so, your parents weren't here when you did
that's
this.
That's true. So I jumped on it. But yeah, they would. So we would just go and look at these balloons, and they'd have amazing shapes, like a balloon in the shape of a bus or a shopping cart or an animal. I mean, they're incredible what they can do.
Well, they often have balloons that they use for advertising in a lot of cities. They'll be in the shape of something advertising mm-hmm. that. But there's not people in those. But these are balloons that people can ride in, right?
That's right. And the baskets are much, much bigger in these mm-hmm. bigger balloons. And they can hold up to maybe 30
wow.
people
yeah,
at
just,
one time.
Yeah.
Quite
now,
big.
You have a picture here with Ms. Sue, right?
Right. Her name is, well, her English name is Sue Yishun. She was the director of tourism in Hualien, and I got to meet with her a couple times. She was a pretty amazing woman.
Well, that's good. And so they're trying to actually have more people go down there. They want to have a significant boost in tourism. It means a noticeable increase, doesn't it?
That's right.
Okay, and then it gives visitors a new alternative. So why do they need an alternative? There's always plenty to do. You can go hiking in Taroka Gorge, and that's beautiful. That's got more marble than any place in the world except for Italy. Mm-hmm. Pretty good place.
Yeah, this is kind of what we were talking about earlier with the word perspective. We want to give tourists, or the Hualien people want to give tourists a different perspective of their county. They want to give them more choices.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another alternative, another choice for them when they go visit Hualien. They can go watch the whales, the dolphins, and ride in a hot air balloon. There's different things now.
Well, they can go river rafting.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of options, other options. It was interesting, Doris, when I went to Taidong 2 years ago, that they now have surfing. Surfing is very popular, so that's kind of a new thing.
But they didn't used to do that.
That they
right?
didn't used to do. And then I happened upon some hang gliders.
Oh.
So that's also very popular there. So I think a lot of the counties are trying to begin some of these new activities to boost their tourism.
Well, you know, when I lived in Hualien many years ago, I thought this is a very beautiful place. But most people in the world have never heard of it. And people always went to Hawaii. And I thought, well, this on the east coast of Taiwan is as beautiful as Hawaii. Why don't people come here? But they did not have a place for them to stay. They didn't have this tourism idea. And it was just local people, you know, having the rice fields and growing peanuts and things like that. They didn't think about it. But now they're more conscious of that. And so instead of going to Hawaii, we say to people, come to Taiwan for tourism. Mm-hmm. It's quite different. But that's all quite new in the last few years.
And that'll be a big challenge for them in the future because with tourists, you have hotels and you have more traffic and more congestion in the city. And so they're going to have to find a balance between attracting people but maintaining that original beauty that you talked about and that you observed so many years ago.
And another thing is because of all the tourists coming, you're going to have to speak more English.
True.
That right?
Right?
It's international language.
Mm-hmm.
And the tourists that come here have to speak English if they're from other countries because I don't think most of them are going to be able to speak Chinese unless they, of course, come over, you know, from mainland China. Then, of course, they don't have a big problem. But the people who come from other countries are going to be speaking English.
And it will make them feel even more welcome if someone greets them in English.
They'll say, wow, your English is good. Mm-hmm. And they will. I listen to Advanced Studio Classroom.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's interesting what they're doing in Hualien, and they also have many beautiful hotels and things they didn't used to have, and places to eat and restaurants. It's changed a lot.
Yes, it has. Yep.
Well, let's go on to the next page, and we find out whether this is safe or not.
safety concerns. However, ballooning is still an unfamiliar adventure sport in Taiwan, so safety is one of the main concerns. The official event opening was in June, but coordinators spent March through June organizing test flights for the balloons. VIPs and members of the press were invited to the trial runs and could take a short ride in the balloon, 4 to 5 passengers per balloon. As an added precaution, the balloons could only ascend 50 to 60 feet on average, while remaining tethered to ropes on the ground. In a normal free flight, balloons can reach an altitude of 10,000 feet, but most usually fly at 2,500 to 5,000 feet. Event officials hope that eventually pilots will be allowed to fly untethered in Hualien.
Okay, we're talking about safety concerns, and earlier we talked about the pilots and how they have to go through training and get licensed, and this is one reason they go through the training is to provide safety for their passengers to have safe flights. So Hualien is very, very concerned about having safe flights for their tourists.
Well, ballooning is still kind of an unfamiliar adventure sport in Taiwan, but they're promoting it a lot, and I think more and more people will be trying it. Do you think so, Pam?
I do. I think this article will help promote this sport for Hualien. I'm glad to see, though, that they really are making safety their number one concern. You would want to know that they have worked out all of the kinks, K-I-N-K-S, or anything that could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, the problems involved, right? And this event officially opened in June, but in March through June, that's when they organized or put together these test flights and had people come down. And that's when you went down there, when they were testing it and trying it out. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, I was something of a guinea pig when I went down.
You don't look like a guinea pig. Why do you say you're a guinea pig? What does that have to do with
it? Because they were testing it on me. No,
and
I'm joking.
We often say that we test things on guinea pigs or rats. Yeah. Maybe you're one of the rats. Who knows?
But it was very, very safe, and we had a great time. And they were promoting it at that time, and they wanted people to know about it and to write about it and to promote it. Yeah.
Well, I think, Pam, if you'd been here, you would have volunteered to be on the test, wouldn't you?
I would have loved to have gone.
When I said to Catherine, do you want to go, what did you say?
I don't really remember. I remember that there was some jumping up and down. And yes, please.
Yes, I want to go. I want to go.
Yes, I was so excited to go.
So I said, you could go if you write an article about it. And she did.
Yeah, I did.
So that's what we're finding out about
it's
it.
Totally
so they had all these test flights to see how they were. And so you were one of the VIPs, very important persons, as well as the members of the press. In other words, they invited people to come so we could let other people know about it, and you could take a short ride in the balloon. Now, it says there were 4 to 5 passengers in each balloon. So, Steve, did you get to ride in one then for sure?
I did. I did have a good time. I got in, I think. I was actually one of the first to go in on that particular day. And there was probably 100, maybe 200 people.
People?
Wow. Oh, there was a crowd.
Waiting.
And we had to wait a while because they were really uncertain as to whether or not we would even get to go.
It was quite windy. They were waiting for the wind to die down. Mm-hmm. And we did finally get the green light, the go-ahead to go up and try it. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, that was exciting, isn't it? Well, then it says as an added precaution. Now, when you are cautious, then you're very careful. So to be extra careful, they call that a precaution, to be careful ahead of time, not later, but ahead mm-hmm. of time. So as an added precaution, what did they do?
The balloons were only allowed to ascend or go up as high as 50 to 60 feet while remaining tethered. In other words, you were still tied off. Is that right?
That's
Catherine,
right.
They had a long, some type of big, thick rope or something
tied
to the ground?
Yeah, there were actually three different ropes that were tied to the side of the balloons, and then they were connected to something on the ground so that we could only go up to a certain height and not go too far in either direction, left or right.
Which was a good thing. You can see a picture there on the left side of page 16 of the ropes coming down from the balloons. That day was quite windy, and I'm quite thankful for those ropes because without them, I think we would have blown out to the ocean and been lost forever.
So you never did get the ropes taken off, huh?
We didn't.
You might have gone all the way to Seattle.
I could have, yeah.
Los Angeles.
It was really windy that day. I could have gone to New York.
Well, I don't think that's
just go wherever the wind blows.
Hawaii. Right?
I wouldn't say the name of that.
So you really went up in the balloon, but the balloon was still tied to the ground.
It was, yeah. But well, I think they hope that will change in the future to give tourists more freedom and the pilots more freedom.
Mm-hmm. So you went up more than once, didn't you, Catherine?
I did. I got to go up twice.
Was it still tied to the ground both times?
Yes, it was. And whenever you're tied to the ground, you can't go very high. The pilot said that we only go up about 50 to 60 feet, which is a small, small fraction of how high balloons actually do have the ability to fly.
What about right now? Because that was the test. Are they going to let them go higher than that now or not?
Whenever I spoke to the tourism officials, I think that they're planning, but it's whenever we were there, it was still in the planning stages. So I guess we will see what ends up happening in June.
Right. Well, now, you know, because it's already August, I'm mm-hmm. sure that people have, I don't know if they've gone up.
They're probably doing some more tests and talking to the pilots about the viability of being untethered mm-hmm. and whether they can find safe landing places and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, you could just go up to Taipei 101 and look down. You don't have to get in a balloon, you know. I mean, it's kind of fun if the balloons can go around a little bit, isn't mm-hmm. it, Pam?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm amazed that it says normally they can go as high as 10,000 feet.
That's
really high.
That's the height of a small aircraft was what I realized. I mm-hmm. mean, small right. planes fly that high. That's incredible.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, so you be sure and come back and we see how it felt and find out everything concerning that. Thanks for being with us today and watch the news for what's going on down there these days. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.